Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
What you talking about, huh? What you talking about, huh? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about, huh?
This episode was recorded before the Tier 2 restrictions were added. Please enjoy.
So does Chris drink coffee, or is it just you?
Believe it or not, Chris is a barista, but hates coffee.
Oh, okay. So why did you buy Maxwell House?
I didn't.
Of all of them? Oh, I found it.
I didn't mind it. It was bought for us.
Oh, was it?
It was bought for us, yeah. Some, we had it when we moved in.
Oh, I'll buy you a proper coffee next time.
I've got a Tasman machine, James.
Have you? Yes. Oh, fantastic.
I've got a Tasman machine, yes. No pods for it, but...
Oh. Asda at the moment, doing 3 for £10.
Well, I put it on my Christmas things. Your list now is a nice little go-to thing, isn't it?
Kirsty bought me some Kenko, do a flat white now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, very nice. Well, I got it from work the other day, She said, you haven't even looked, have you? I went, no. See, when I got my Tasma, I got a stand to go with it. It's registered to the website. You know, if you register online, you get money off and whatnot. I think I got like 20% off your first order. So yeah. I bought a couple of cases, a couple of packets.
I mean, yeah.
And I got this dispenser thing. They just take from the bottom.
Yeah, it's sort of thing you see on Dragon's Den. I've seen so many of those sort of dispensers on Dragon's Den. Yeah. I've subscribed to YouTube channel.
It's just a metal thing where you take things out the bottom. That's it.
And Jenny Campbell would have cleared herself out as usual.
Always. So yeah, I got it from work. She went, you haven't even noticed, have you? I went, whoa, should I look by your testimony? And it's all filled up.
Look fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. And this new one said Kenko Flat White. So I gave it a try. It's very tasty. Very, very nice. See, I don't normally very smooth. I don't normally go for the ones with milk in, like the lattes or cappuccinos, because I find the milk, or the crema, whatever you want to call it, that comes with it, I find it quite sweet.
It's meant to be. Because that's why it stays fresh for longer than
canned. Yeah, obviously it's preservatives in it. Mm-hmm. Like that. But I don't really like that. So normally I go for like the Americano extra large or the grande, whatever they call it. Mm. Mainly because you get more for your money. You get 16 in the pack rather than 8.
Well, suppose.
But also, I find it a bit too sweet. Whereas I find if I put fresh milk in it myself, you have that choice, obviously. So.
The only thing is, James, I was talking about coffee, that coffee is actually the first thing on my list.
Oh, fantastic!
It's best and worst coffee I was about to ask you about. You'll be drinking a mug of Maxwell House right now. It's fine. Mm. It's fine, it's free.
It's a bit hot at the moment.
It's maybe hot, it's a bit of a kettle.
Yes, I know, but I for example, when you get one from a coffee machine, it's normally at
85 degrees centigrade.
Yeah, it's normally done a little bit cooler. So, it's perfect to drink straight away, sort of thing.
It's fine.
So it's my favourite coffee.
What's the best coffee you can remember having? For me, it's a good Douwe Egberts.
Oh, I do like Douwe Egberts. My mum has Douwe Egberts.
Yeah, our mum has a very big thing for, as she called it, proper coffee.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think
she breaks it out on special occasions.
You say it every time I go around. She
well, it's a special occasion when we go around to see her nowadays, isn't it, to be fair?
Well, in the current
climate,
yes, definitely. No, I do like Douwe Egberts. There's another one that, because Derek was made by Jacob Douwe Egberts, obviously JDE. Where's product placement? Do we get free gifts?
No, we don't, James. Oh. No.
That's a shame.
No, for the benefit of the tape, other brands are available.
Derek Watts is awful, man. No. There's another one I made called Law, LOR.
Yes.
Yeah, Law. Very lovely, very smooth. Mm. Do like that. In Tesco's the other week, they had a big, massive one. Half price.
Is that the black jar?
It's the black one.
With the gold writing.
With the gold writing, and it's got like a screw top, but it's all in like a... Yeah.
It looks posh. It looks posh.
It's a decent coffee. That's one I have. And they do that in a Tasma as well, the Law.
Oh, nice.
Which is really nice. It's really nice. That's probably the best. The worst coffee I think I've had was... I think it was just after...
While you're trying to think of a...
I know exactly what it is.
Okay, go on.
It's just after Lucy was born. It was at Colchester Hospital. It was from a vending machine. It was disgusting.
Oh god, I actually know the plier of that machine as well, James. I can vouch for you, that is a very, very disgusting coffee.
It was horrible.
In terms of one you buy out, but one you can have at home, and again, other coffees are available. Better coffees are available, I should say as well. Tesco Value Instant Coffee Granules. I thought that was bad. I kid you not. But if you listen back to when me and Graham were driving around doing our Good Cop, Bad Cop diary at WrestleMania last year, we actually left in the part where I'm making coffee in the hotel room. And it was not good coffee.
Yeah.
It was not good coffee because the creamer was in. It was like packets. I'm like
packets.
Yeah, literally, it was like creamy, like powder put into the coffee. No, it was rough.
Because normally, when you go to a hotel, you'll get
UHT.
I know you got to give UHT little tubs.
And that's why I said, like, where's the UHT stuff? And he's like, you used all the milk. I'm like, I actually said to him, Graham, what the hell is this? And he's like, where's what they have here? I'm like, well, why?
We think that Americans are normally quite big on their coffee, wouldn't you?
I mean, it's a Holiday Inn.
Oh, so a well respected chain.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've had coffees in travel lodges here in England, in London especially, where normally I you know, you have the complimentary coffee and, you know, I say you have the UHT pots. So
yeah.
And England isn't known for its coffee, it's known for its tea.
Exactly.
So maybe that's why we have the proper milk, it's tea, I don't know.
Maybe so, I'm not sure. But yeah, I took one sip of it and it's on record. God, Chris would blow his lid if he saw this sort of setup. I say that Chris would never drink the stuff, but
no.
Yeah, that's the worst coffee definitely I've ever had. No. Was actually in New Jersey. I can say that because Chris and he hate me saying it like that. best coffee I've ever had. I've said the Dalrymple is up there for certain. I'm going to sound like I'm being biased here.
Okay.
But when I've been to Costa and Chris has worked, because he knows how I like my coffee, it's the best coffee in the world.
Well, he's a barista, and he's got some very fine coffee beans behind him.
Yes.
So, you know.
But it's also, I don't know if it's because I know he made it, and just thinking I'm really sickly, I know, but because he cares, and I mean, he got home last night, for example, and he was exhausted.
Mm.
Because
traders,
no, not so much stressful at the moment. It's more a case of busy.
Yeah, and I mean where it is.
Yeah,
that makes the stress because it's so busy.
It's business really picked up again.
Which is good for them,
obviously. But you know, he comes home, he's exhausted, sort of thing. And he got home last night, had to make his own tea because I played Dungeons and Dragons. But in fact, he'd read that beforehand, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But the thing, he puts a lot of effort into his coffee.
Yeah,
and. It was very, very nice coffee. It wasn't too harsh, but the Costa with the Christmas coffee they do.
The Christmas blend.
No, it's in the flavors they do. It just complements the coffee blend very nicely, and it's right up there for me.
Yeah, decent coffee I had at Owl. I reckon the Costa I had at Addenbrookes just after Lenny was born.
Then because you've been up for 38 hours at that point.
Well, maybe, but you know, it was the first real time I've actually had coffee properly. So I thought, you know, obviously he had his operations and everything like that. So I thought, I need to try to stay awake. You know, because there's important things going on, and he went into intensive care and so forth. So they had about four Costas on site.
Yes.
At Addenbrookes.
Yeah.
But now got Starbucks as well.
Yeah.
Which I've never visited because I now stick to Costa because of what I had there. That was a really nice coffee. And from then, that's when my love of coffee sort of
materialised.
Yeah. Accelerated. And so forth.
It brewed.
Talking about brew, actually, something I saw on Twitter this morning. I don't know if you've seen it. Yorkshire tea.
Yes, Mags, I've seen this. I've seen the toast and jam Yorkshire tea.
I don't know what to think about it. Well, it's only available in Asda.
Well, I saw this last week, and I actually showed it to Chris. because he's a tea drinker.
Mm.
He's like, I don't like Yorkshire tea.
What? How can you, that's the, it's the best tea going.
Too, he finds it too strong. He's much more of a Thai food boy.
Thai food?
You're going to get an ooh of Thai food.
Oh, dear.
We really are pushing all the products at this moment, aren't we, at this point? We really should be being plugged by Asda or Tesco's or Morrison's.
I do work for Morrison's.
I know, but you can't tell them yet. Oh, you can, of course.
You can always bleep it out like a ring bell or something. I'm swearing on a PG podcast.
I'm leaving it, it's fine. But, yeah, in general, it's...
I've had their biscuit brew.
Mm.
It's quite malty. I quite like it.
That Yorkshire tea?
Yorkshire tea, the biscuit brew. I found it pleasantly good.
I've had flavoured teas before.
Yeah.
I've had flavoured teas.
I'm not really a big fan of the fruit tea, whereas I think this is where it's more going. I think it's more... Because I was reading some of the comments on Twitter.
Jam is... It's strawberry... It's strawberry and buttered flavoured.
Yeah, I think that's basically what it is. I haven't tried it. I don't know. But strawberry flavoured tea. More to a fruit tea sort of thing.
Strawberry flavoured tea, I can get on board with as an idea, because I've had the mango. I've had, like, teddy mango. Mango. I've had the peach flavour as well.
Yeah.
I've had... I actually get the citrus ones.
Yeah.
Well, not they well. I cook up.
Oh, it's a good source of vitamin C, for example.
It's very good when I've got a cold.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's... I'll just have that and I'll just sit there. I'll play me games,
mm-hmm.
drink me tea, and keep me going sort of thing. Especially think of how now my Xbox is literally a metre from a kettle. I can... It is! More or less. So I can quite quickly get from here to there.
Have you ever thought about bringing the kettle into the living room?
Don't even joke. Do not even joke, James. Do not, because if Chris had played a microwave in the games room...
Well, why haven't you?
Because there is a plausible this for it, after all.
Ah,
so
well, there you go.
There is plausible this for it.
Well, maybe that's an idea.
No. You ever try getting crumbs at your bed?
Yes.
Try getting crumbs at your Xbox.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No.
Fair enough. Toast and jam tea isn't for you, then?
Not personally.
What did Mag say about it, then?
I haven't spoken to him directly about it yet. Okay. But I have seen it posted on Twitter, and I dare say there'll be discussion at some point, because it seems to be that the most things we talk about on wrestling Twitter nowadays is food.
Food and drink, yeah.
Food and drink. Particularly that you don't put pineapple on a pizza.
Why not?
What fruit goes on a pizza?
Tomato.
That's it.
Okay. Do you know what? I actually had a pizza last night when I was going from work. Dr. Urquhart, this is very much product placement in this podcast.
It is.
Maybe we should call that, that's a title of the podcast, Product Placement Aplenty.
Perfect.
Yes. I had a Dr. Urquhart mozzarella pizza, and we were shopping the other day, and Chris said, just buy yourself a pizza. And I was like, okay. So she said, anyone you could buy. So obviously we was in the supermarket, and it was literally you could do anyone I want. You know, five quid up to a fiver sort of thing. But I bought this one for £1.50, basically because it's got the fresh. I know it's frozen, but it's got fresh tomatoes on top.
Hmm. Yeah, it works.
And I really like that.
I like that.
I don't know. And it was a really cheap one. It's a thin one. It's got loads of mozzarella on top.
Were fresh ones, weren't it?
No, it was frozen one.
Really?
Yeah. Dr. Urquhart, Ristorante, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Mozzarella. Beautiful it was.
When we moved in here first week, mm-hmm. we obviously moved in the Friday and Saturday.
Mm.
And then everything was done then. So we only sat, because the freezer was up on a Saturday, we needed something to put in it.
Oh, yeah.
So Saturday night we went for a quick shop at Morrison's, and we came back with a big rustic garlic bread.
Okay, yeah.
And nice. One of the fresh pizzas. And okay, yeah, that was the first pizza we had here. It was lovely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fresh pizza is lovely. Did you get the best one?
I believe so, yes.
The best one's a stunning. What, remember that time when you came in?
Yes.
And you got that meal deal?
Yeah.
You bought the pizzas, didn't you?
I bought pizzas.
Well, what did you think of them?
Beautiful.
I thought they were stunning.
Beautiful.
Absolutely stunning. Yeah, we haven't got that meal deal going at the moment at work. This is more product placement. But I find them absolutely beautiful. Sometimes better than something you get from a restaurant or takeaway. Because they're something like £4. I think they're like 2 for £7 or something like that. You know, basically £3.50 for a fresh pizza. And they're massive, and they've got lovely fine ingredients, and oh, I just think they're stunning. Obviously, with my staff discount, it helps. But, you can get on the way home from work. If you've ordered a takeaway, that's quicker to cook. Fresh pizzas take, what, 7 or 8 minutes in the oven, if that. So, sometimes eating in is better.
James, I'm going to change subject, but at the same time not change subject.
Okay.
Mainly because I had to put a break in somewhere. This is I'm going to transition to a subject about comfort food. So you're staying very much on topic. We could talk about pizza a minute ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Now we talk about pizzas. When do you usually have a pizza? When do you have a pizza? Usually when you can't be bothered to cook.
I tell you, I normally have a pizza if I'm like late home from work. Mm. Like if I'm working a late shift, like, I mean last night I finished at 10 o'clock at night. So it's a quick thing, quick in the oven, 5-10 minutes done. You know, I haven't got to worry about maybe cooking anything else. I haven't got worry, we don't cook, you know, I'm not cooking for cursing my behalf of the children, anything like that, because they've already eaten. Just a little quick thing, done. Mm.
When it comes to comfort food though, do you class pizza as comfort food or not really?
I don't know, what do you call
comfort food for me, and I'll admit this, I'm extremely overweight.
Okay.
I'll admit that. I've said that before, good cop, bad cop, and, you know, I'm... This isn't from eating bloody salad, okay? No, also, never trust a skinny chef, though.
Okay.
Okay. Three things I know in life, from Stephen Fry. One, never ask a PR man for the truth.
Uh-huh.
Two, never trust a skinny chef.
Uh-huh.
And three, never shake hands with a gynecologist. Right. Okay, so. But the point I'm making with regards to my weight is when I'm miserable or anything like that, I comfort eat.
Okay, so are you talking about snacking?
Snacking
comfort food, yeah. Rather than like.
When I get depressed, and I had a fair shout of that this year, obviously during lockdown.
Everyone has their own form of depression that they go through. I believe that everyone does at some point or another. I mean, some are more extreme cases than others, and you know, it's how people deal with it. You know, I've had a state of depression over the last few years, maybe, but some people deal in different ways. I like to try and tackle it head on and think of positive things and try and sort of like block it out of my memory, sort of thing. But do you know what I mean? I mean, some people struggle to deal with these things.
Absolutely. Everyone deals with it in different ways.
Yeah.
Some of them more effective than others.
Yeah.
Me, I've always eaten my way out of my problems, and that's not good. Obviously, I got that 1 point down to 14 stone.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I weighed myself a few weeks ago,
was that when we were living together?
It was.
It was, yeah.
It was.
Did you really well with it?
I did really well. As a couple of weeks ago, I weighed myself, I was 21 stone.
Okay.
Okay, now I admit that most of that is due to not bothering and not caring. I'll be honest, after March, I didn't know when I was going to see my other half again, didn't know if I was going to see my family again,
yeah.
All that sort of stuff. I was at a real low ebb, as we all were. We all were. And we're still not out of the woods now. Even with a vaccine looming, we're still not out of the woods yet. And that's the other point.
Even if a vaccine is ready tomorrow, it's going to take years to get the world back to the normality that we had last year.
Exactly. But anyway, that's another story for later. No, another show, maybe even. What I want to talk about regarding the comfort food is, when it comes to that sort of thing, is there anything that you, what's your go-to thing if you feel like that? Because for me, it would always be a case of, especially when I used to live in town, I would order a pizza,
yep.
Or I'd order a burger, mm-hmm. Or go to the road, and I'd buy a box of chicken and chips.
Fast junk food. Fast food.
That would be my go-to. Absolutely. The reason why I'm going to this in a minute, I'll tell you why.
Okay. For me, I don't know. I'm a very savoury man.
Yes.
I open up a pack of nuts or some crisps. Nachos. It's always a thing for me to eat those sort of thing. Or nuts. I mean, I've tried to cut it out a lot more recently, but alcohol's quite a big thing.
Mm.
You know, I open up a can of beer. Don't have to drink a lot. Just having that can of beer on the side.
Glass of wine, that sort of thing.
Glass of wine, yeah. I never drink excessively.
But no, you thought it's been pretty good.
It was more of a regular thing, you know. Maybe just having one or two tins a night. You know,
you've always been pretty good at that, James, to be fair. I mean, I remember one time you tried keeping up with our stepdad whilst drinking. That was a mistake.
I've tried keeping up a few times with various people, and I
had very bad results.
I learnt very quickly, especially at one event I went to with the in-laws. We went to a stand-up show, Mickey Flanagan, and... Yeah, I mean, it was bought for us.
That's fine.
And I felt very embarrassed and ashamed by the end of the night. Because I tried to keep up before the show. And then when the show came on, it hit me. And I felt really ill. I spent a good 20 minutes of the show in the toilet. And then I fell asleep. And I felt really, really embarrassed. Because I was trying to keep up with people who are used to drinking a lot. Say, for example... And since then, it was 2-3 years ago, I think it was. I will never keep up with anyone. I've really learned my lesson.
You learned to pace yourself at your pace.
Exactly. And sometimes it's, I'll buy you a drink, and you, and obviously when you're buying rounds as well, you don't want to say no. You know, like, oh yeah. And just socially, sort of. You in your head, you feel pressured, saying yeah, I'll have another one. But I learned from that day not to keep up. So
I can relate to that. Yeah. So, my former flatmate used to go through a hell of a lot of alcohol, yeah. And used to whinge at me because I would maybe have one drink the entire night if I had a drink at all.
Yeah, but it's what you want, isn't it?
I know, and we sometimes had blazing row because I was quote a pussy and wouldn't drink. Heavy. End of the day, I feel I'm in a lot better state liver-wise than he is now.
Well, there you go.
So that says it all. Reason why I ask you about comfort food.
Yes.
Because, and this is going to tie into something in a moment as well. This past Sunday, as we're recording, my beloved Liverpool were smashed by Aston Villa. And I was feeling really, really bad, really crappy after that match.
Yeah.
Okay, now, it got to a stage where Chris actually asked me, are you going to cry? Because I actually was feeling...
Did you watch the match live?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I watched the match live, and it was getting to a stage where I was feeling... I haven't seen Liverpool ever play that badly.
Okay.
Ever, ever, ever.
Okay.
Same time, I don't think I ever will see them play that badly ever again. I don't think... I think
that's a bold statement. You're only 36, mate.
I do feel that there are certain games which are freak results.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Not saying that Villa deserved the result. Fantastic. But we played really bad as well. Villa played amazing and we played badly.
It takes two to tango.
Absolutely. We definitely presented them with opportunities which normally, never in a million years would we have done that. Not in a million trillion years, mm-hmm. normally. But it happened.
Yeah.
But I was feeling really, really bad that day. And I was like... I was thinking, like, I need to eat something.
Okay.
And that's literally how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And Chris was saying... I said, what have we got? And I was there and thought... I mean, literally, my phone was in my hand. And I was about to order something to be delivered.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, why not?
I went and made poached eggs and toast.
Oh, wow.
Took 3 minutes. To prove your point that you made earlier.
Yeah.
About sometimes... I mean, that pizza was like 45 minutes an hour. Oh, and it cost me like twice that.
Cost you 3 times the amount.
Yeah.
How much a pack of eggs? 70p at work at my shop at the moment.
Not a pack of 6 eggs. I bought a pack of 15.
Okay.
120 it was.
Yeah. The Chippendales, they call it.
Yeah. And... I don't know.
Chippendale Farm makes...
Oh, right, eggs. Right. I thought you were referring to the dancers.
No, the eggs.
Why?
What it is, there's a sort of background story. So, Morrisons and other supermarkets, say, for example, over the years have bought out suppliers.
Yes.
And they still use the suppliers, obviously. But instead of calling the eggs Morrison's Savers, they use the farm where they get it from. They use Chippendales. The eggs are actually made by Chippendale, were produced, or came from, by the Chippendales Egg Company farm. They're like medium or small sized eggs.
Medium sized.
Yeah. And that's what they are. They're Chippendale eggs.
Very good.
And they're free range. Did you know that Morrison's only sell free range eggs?
Yes, I did.
No more cage eggs at all, which I think is fantastic.
I did know that, yes, that's fantastic. Yeah. And fair.
And prices are still cheap.
And you could taste the difference. But that's the difference in Mark and Over.
Yeah.
But it was very. But that's what I did, though. I cooked myself two slices of Bloomer toast. We have 11 in the freezer.
Yeah.
Straight from the freezer, they do toast.
Do you like a Bloomer?
No, just
normal.
Just normal. Okay.
White.
Yes. Yeah. I had two slices of Bloomer toast.
Mm-hmm.
Two poached eggs. It took 3 minutes.
Bit of black pepper over top.
No, I wasn't in the mood for it. I'll tell you what, I was more satisfied with that than anything else. And by the end of the night, I was feeling okay again.
Yeah.
But I come for eight, but I ate much healthier than I could have done.
It could have been a lot worse.
I think about it this way.
You could have fried eggs on toast, for example.
Well, even that would have been better than the pizza.
Well, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that I went and did something healthy for comfort food for a change.
Healthier.
Come on, poached eggs.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse.
Poached egg and toast.
Yeah.
I mean, that meal, it was a meal, technically.
Yeah.
Technically, that meal cost me 15, what's
how many eggs was it?
It was two eggs.
Two eggs. 15 eggs, £1.20. Not a lot. I can't work out.
Graham will work it out for me, probably, and DM me.
He's a mathematician, so.
Yeah, but it was really cheap. It was really satisfying, and when I'm not happy, I cook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no poaching eggs isn't exactly
it's not rocket science, no.
But you say that, but there are people who
there's an art to it.
Yes. There's an art to poaching eggs, and I'll be honest, I've never done them professionally.
I've never poached an egg.
I will show you one day. It's okay. So simple.
This sounds like a podcast idea in the future.
It is a podcast idea in the future, and yes, Paul Tolley, I still want to go off against you in a cook-off.
It sounds fantastic.
It is a fantastic one, actually. But it's something that I want to... The point I'm making there is that comfort food does not necessarily need to be greasy.
No, totally.
Does not need to be unhealthy. I mean, that's probably the healthiest comfort food I've ever had in my life. And I felt...
like a punnet of grapes just sitting in the fridge or something?
We used to be fair, but usually Chris has them.
Well, get double.
Well, normally I go for an apple or something, okay. Usually. But to be fair, that's not comfort food.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's something which makes
when
you feel...
When I'm not happy, I cook.
Yeah.
And when I cook, I'm happy.
Yeah. The thing is, greasy food, because it does taste good, it gives you that comfort. That's what it
and
is.
And that was not greasy.
No.
But resembled greasy food.
Yeah. So you enjoyed it. That's the main thing. Oh, yeah. You've always been a fan of eggs, to be fair.
I've always been an egg man, and that's what Mum always said when I moved out. Always keep a box of eggs in your fridge because you always have a meal.
Yeah. What's your favourite egg dish?
I'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
I'll get to that in a moment. Problem with that is the box of eggs in the fridge, I'm always going to have to make sure it's fine because Chris won't touch them.
Is he
doesn't do eggs.
Is he celiac or?
No.
He just
don't like the texture.
Don't like eggs.
The taste, the texture, nothing.
Oh.
But he bakes them, so please say. I have to keep an eye on them, actually. But my favourite eggs, my favourite way of cooking them, your favourite egg dish in general?
For both.
You can't, well, in terms of an actual meal, you can't really go wrong with eggs on steak.
Fried egg?
Of course.
Ooh. We have a steak for dinner tonight, I might try that.
Yes.
We've got some eggs here.
Couple of fried eggs, sunny side up.
Yeah.
And just, when you finish them, just rest them on the top.
Yeah.
Instead of pineapple, you see.
Pineapple on steak?
Yeah, pineapple on gammon, I think about it, yeah.
But still, I could appreciate the eggs on the steak.
Steak and eggs, it's a very American thing, of course.
Yeah, no, I could appreciate the flavouring.
Maybe a couple of sausages on the side, maybe some bacon as well.
You've gone for a mixed grill, haven't you?
I'm going for the full mixed grill here, yeah. But that's what I got an idea from in general, but just steak and eggs in general.
Well, why not?
Maybe some hash browns.
Don't about the hash browns. You mix up with an all-day breakfast here.
You can't go...
Why not have steak on all-day breakfast?
To be fair, James, there is, over the road, there's a cafe, which instead of serving hash brown or chips, has sauteed potatoes on their big breakfast.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
different.
It's beautiful. Mm.
That cafe over there, or the beach diner over there.
That one over there.
Yeah. We played in that. We played darts in that beach diner. Do you remember that?
I didn't.
Did you not?
I did not.
It was the height of winter.
Not me.
Or the low of winter, whatever you want to call it.
I've played
the depths of winter.
I played at FC Clacton.
Yeah, no, no. This is crazy because obviously this beach diner we have right in front of us. Just going totally off subject. Obviously you've got the sea right in front of us, as you can see.
It's beautiful.
Stunning day today, beautiful sunshine. Especially after the rain we had recently, terrible.
To be fair, even when we've had the rain, it's a fantastic view.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You see, we were here on Sunday, I'll get to that in a moment as well, and we saw the waves crashing again, and they're literally crashing against those rocks. Beautiful.
Yeah, no, it is. I totally agree, because you'll be able to see the spray coming up. That groin right in front, is that what we're talking about?
Yes, exactly. So the beach diner?
Yeah, the beach diner. We played darts in there, I think it was like end of November, start of December sort of time, years and years ago.
Yes.
And it was cold. So what they had was, they had some sort of heater in there.
Was it literally like a one bar fire powered by like a 3-amp fuse?
No, complete opposite.
What?
Yes, it was like a furnace. You know, like these big
it's called a kiln.
Air coolers.
It's called a kiln, James. You're talking about.
No, not
a
kiln. No, we're not making pottery.
Might as well have been at this point. I'm out of it.
You know these big industrial like fans that they have to cool down.
It was like that. The Marilyn Monroe hat used to have when she was doing her.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Like that, but it produced heat.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it went. It was just a bit too extreme. And you were trying to play darts next to this. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. But a very interesting experience.
What was the food that night?
What?
What the food that night?
I can't remember. I think it was like chips, sausage and chips.
You can't remember that usually.
Yeah. I think it was the season whilst we were still at the Queen's Arms on a Thursday night.
Oh, that was a terrible place to play darts.
It weren't too bad until the new owners come in and put karaoke on.
The new owners, they wanted karaoke every single night.
Yeah, but if it brought the money in...
It didn't, no!
That's the thing. You only had regulars in there, which I didn't get. It didn't drive in the people. Where the darts...
And the pool teams.
And the pool teams, for example.
She had two mixed teams, a Monday night men's team and a women's team. And the pool team, and she didn't care if they left, she said.
Yeah, but you're talking 8 people per team.
Minimum. 2 teams.
So 2 teams per match.
Because there's 2 boards. Yeah. Actually, they had 3 boards in there, didn't they?
They did at one point. So say you've got 3 boards and a pool team. So that's 16, 32, 64. At least you've got 64 people coming in there every week. Literally, these are drinking games. So most people would be buying.
Exactly. People don't play darts or pool without drinking, do they?
And it wasn't a cheap venue either.
It was not.
So, yeah.
It was not cheap at all.
Yes. Anyway, where was we anyway before that? Eggs.
Eggs.
Where on earth did we get that from?
Steak and egg.
Yeah, diner.
Steak and eggs is a great combination. Yes, absolutely. Running onto tangents again, guys. Sorry about that.
Well, that's the whole point of the podcast.
Absolutely.
My favourite egg dish? I do love a scrambled egg on toast, I'll be honest. But
okay, let's compare recipes.
But this is the thing about scrambled egg. It's not the proper scrambled egg that you do in the pan sort of thing. This is one that you just shove in the microwave, butter.
Then milk, let's compare microwave recipes, James.
Okay.
Because I've done microwave as well as on the hob. So let's combine microwave recipes.
I've never cooked scrambled egg on the hob.
It's actually much harder to do on the hob.
Well, that's the thing, because it's all about splitting, and I don't even know what you do with it, I'll be honest, because I always did it like our mum did, you know, for quickness, shove it in the microwave, done.
Right, okay, so your basic recipe for one person, go.
So?
Your basic scrambled recipe for one person, how do you do it?
2 eggs, another bar, dash of milk, mix it all up, 2.5 minutes in the microwave, done.
Mm-hmm, because I was always told by our mother, it's 1 minute per egg.
Yeah, I like to put them in for a little bit longer because it's eggs. Just to make sure.
Eggs is eggs is eggs. Now, do you season yours? Salt and pepper?
Yes, salt and pepper, yes.
Salt and pepper too?
Sorry.
Chili?
No.
Why not?
Oh, I could do it, to be fair. haven't thought about that. I may put chili flakes on afterwards, maybe. Mm, yeah. Sort of yeah, I want to put it maybe in the batter mix. Or
yeah, but to be fair, it's really not, you can get it nice and fluffy as well. It's always a good thing to do it that way. People hate on scrambled egg in the microwave.
Chili with scrambled eggs. Hmm. I'll come back to you on that one. I'll try it later. Might for dinner.
Because I was looking at recipes for cottage pies. I'm making one for Chris tonight.
Do you like cottage pie?
For his tea, making a cottage pie for him.
That's comfort food.
It is comfort food. I'm making a lovely, beautiful, juicy cottage pie for him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm looking up certain things. I always like to see, like, to compare different recipes, try new things. I'm trying new things always.
Yeah.
One of the recipes I found last night was, for cottage pie, put cinnamon in the mash.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I'm like,
I thought you were going to say something like HP in the.
No, that makes sense. With the gravy or something. That makes sense.
Cause yeah, it gives a richer
Worcestershire sauce. I use in mine personally.
I love Worcestershire sauce with it. Beautiful.
But the problem is that this isn't the first time I've heard this sort of thing.
Cinnamon in mash.
I will take you back to an episode of Hell's Kitchen 3 years ago. You would have seen this one. But it's in one of the worst signature dishes ever. They made a chicken dish and with mashed potatoes, and it looked lovely.
Yeah.
And he described the dish. But there's actually some sugar in the mash.
What?
He tried it. Spat it out. Like, that is one of the worst combinations I've ever tasted in my life.
Potatoes are a savoury, starchy dish. Why on earth would you put something sweet in it?
Jane, with that very, very statement, I remind you, sweet popcorn.
Yeah.
That's a savoury snack. They put all sorts.
See,
of...
See, I don't like sweet popcorn.
No, me neither.
I like salted popcorn.
Thank you.
I don't like sweet popcorn. I don't get it. The toffee one I can sort of accept.
Why?
I don't know.
It's sweet, Jane. There's sugar in liquid form.
I know, but maybe it's just because it's more of a caramel flavour out of it. The actual sweet popcorn. The flavour just doesn't work for me. But the toffee one I can sort of accept. But my preference would be salt all the time. Always. Yeah. Because I see popcorn as a savoury dish. And I don't know. Oh. I mean, who on earth would put cinnamon in mashed potatoes?
Well, that person clearly did. I'm not picking mine, that's a guarantee.
Yeah. I know you've put Marmite in mashed potato before.
That's a savoury thing.
Marmite or yeast extract and so forth is...
salty.
It's savoury. So I can understand the... I may not like it, but I can understand the flavour combination.
It's like Chris wants cheese topping his cottage pie tonight. I'm like...
Yes! Well, that makes it a Cumberland pie.
Don't agree with it.
Oh, yes. Cheese, definitely. Cheese is savoury.
I understand.
Can you understand why?
I understand it. Yeah. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, but you're not a big fan of cheese.
No.
So that's why you don't understand it.
No, I don't. I just think it ruins it. I like crispy mash.
Like what?
Crispy mash.
A crispy mash. Yeah, but it does. It makes a nice crispy mash. Yeah, but it's beautiful.
It's not mashing.
It's mashed potato. It's just something on top of it. It's not in the mash. But you haven't had cheese in mash.
Yeah, cheesy mash.
Yeah?
That's not mash.
It is mash.
It does.
What is it then?
Cheesy mash.
But, yeah.
They're cheesy chips.
Oh, do you like cheesy chips? Oh, not that's chips. A comfort food.
Not, yeah, it is comfort food. That's not chips, though, is it? Cheesy chips. It's 90% milk at that point.
Cheesy top chips.
You're pouring milk on your chips.
You've had eggy bread?
Actually, I can't remember the last time I did.
That's an egg dish for you.
I don't think I've ever had eggy bread.
Eggy fried bread?
No, I tell a lie because Cranes made me French toast.
No, that's what it is. French toast, eggs bread.
Yeah, but what about French toast? You put the cinnamon and everything on it. Everything like that.
Cinnamon?
On French toast.
Oh, yeah, but you can have... Yeah, but you can have fruit bread, can't you? I like a nice fruit loaf.
Okay, what's your favourite comfort food is really gone off topic again, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, comfort food's quite general, because obviously when we started off, it was more of a snack-based thing. Now, if you're talking like a proper hearty meal, I think my favourite comfort food has to be a roast dinner.
which is a perfect segue into what I want to talk about after last Sunday. Last Sunday, obviously, it was really bad weather, wasn't it? It was miserable.
It was. And do you know what? I got in from work at, say, just gone 5 o'clock. We had a wall-to-wall stop take at work. It was a horrible day. It was just a stressful, annoying thing which happens once a year. You know? Yeah. It has to be done. We understand that. Stock loss and all that sort of thing. But yeah, it was a really horrible day. The work weren't great. So I got home. As soon as I opened the door, I could just smell that smell of roasted chicken. And I could smell the gravy going. It was just heaven. And then 20 minutes later, after I got in, Kirsty prepared it all beautifully. This beautiful, piled up roast chicken dinner. And then she made an apple crumble for dessert. Do you know what? It was perfect. And it just felt like a horrible autumny winter's day. And it was just a perfect food to go home to.
Well, I didn't go out on Sunday.
No.
I didn't go out on Sunday. But it was miserable out. But what I did do was I got up at 8 in the morning and I put my joint of lamb in the slow cooker.
Joint of lamb? Oh, lamb. Leg of lamb? Yeah, perfect.
Leg of lamb in slow cooker.
Seasoned?
Just with stock you. And okay. A little bit of salt and pepper.
What sort of stock you?
Was
that a lamb stock you?
No, it was a beef.
Okay.
It was recommended. It was recommended as a beef.
Okay, well, so, it's fine.
So I did that. Because at lunchtime, my mother-in-law came round.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. She wanted to come round for a while, so we were getting on. Yeah, sure. So, like, win the rules, obviously.
Yeah.
So
yeah, sure.
So, and technically speaking, she's bubbled to us.
Okay, that's fine.
So that's perfectly fine. So, technically speaking, the one household. So she came round. I did the roast lamb, I did the roast potato, the Yorkshire pudding, the veg. And obviously got that terrible weather out there.
Yeah.
And you've got the rain lashing the window, you've got the wind whipping those trees across the road, and you could see the sea threatening to overthrow, basically, the entire beach. That's what it looked like. And we sat down at this dairy table we're at now, with that scene out there, and it was a clean place.
Yeah, it's comfortable, you just feel safe, it's a good thing. How did you do your roast potatoes?
Roast potatoes, oil, oven.
Yeah, okay. Did you didn't season them with the lamb juice or anything like that?
No, I decided against it. Ooh. I decided against it.
Beautiful.
I decided against it because the lamb juice, it was still cooking in it, James, when I was cooking red potatoes.
Oh, so you didn't let the lamb rest?
When you slow cook it, lamb, you do not need to let it rest.
Oh,
No need to let it rest. And it just fell off a bone, beautiful.
How long was that in there for?
6 hours.
Oh,
6 hours at full power, or 8.5.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. Absolutely stunning. Because the first time, and I will happily say this, it's on the air.
Yeah.
That is the first time in my life I have cooked lamb.
Really?
Too expensive.
It's a very expensive.
It's so expensive. That little leg of lamb.
I don't know, like a lamb. It looks like a shoulder joint or something.
Well, it's a lamb. It's a leg of lamb.
Just a leg. Okay, it might be half a leg or something.
No, it was literally just. It was that sort of size. For the benefit of the tape, we're talking about maybe 6 by 6 inches.
Not a lot.
No, in terms of how wide the
a leg joint. It wasn't a whole leg.
No, but it was still 13 quid.
Yeah.
So it wasn't cheap, but it was enough for three of us. So that's fine.
No, that was perfect size.
Yeah, and I was like, clean plates.
Yeah.
Chris only had carrots this week, gone because he's weird.
He's sitting around. As long as he's eating veg, it's all that matters.
Yeah, well, you know, it's better than onion rings. So it's.
It is better than onion rings, you're right. Well, but I don't think that would go well on a roast dinner.
No, but it went down. But in Venice, the best guide of how well you've done your roast dinner is the plates that are left. What's left?
Oh, totally agree.
Not a drop of gravy left on either plate for my mother in law and my other half.
Fantastic.
And I'm like, oh, so happy.
Mint sauce?
We actually bought mint sauce just for his mum.
Excellent.
We also got the Bisto Best lamb and mint gravy.
Oh, that's what we use. Because we
never cook lamb. But at the same time, it was, quote, a special occasion. Because it was, you know, because it was not her over sort of thing.
Yeah, totally great, yeah.
I actually took mum's advice about cooking your lamb as well. So I had to thank her. Legend today, like, thank you so much for it. So, like, thank you very much. I think we have to have you guys over for Sunday dinner at some point. Like, that's fine, but it's got to be Lamb Day. Done that once. I'm like, yes, that's fine. Absolutely fine, you know. Because after all the years when Mum's cooked with amazing roast dinners for us over the years, and we amazing roast dinners.
Oh, stunning.
And
gravy. Do you know what? I've had plenty of roast dinners over my time. Mm. Some have been good, some have been bad. But the thing which makes it is the gravy, and our mother makes the best gravy in the world.
I'm pretty good at making good gravy. Not as good as Mum's.
Yeah, but Mum uses a stock as well.
As
do
I.
You know, it was just, well, I'll have to try this.
I know. Because by that point, of course, the lamb was on the plate, of course.
Yeah.
So I'd have to use some of the juices in the
milk. Yes, well, totally.
But I also used the vegetable water
for the carrots. Yeah, carrot. Right. Yeah, some stock. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, so made it all up and everything like that. Beautiful. Had to put a bit more hot water in because it went too thick at one point. But that's fine. Anyway, popped it down and everything, and Chris had one complaint. Next time, can you make a bit more gravy?
Fantastic.
I'm like,
yes, that's not a bad complaint.
I'm like, if that's the only complaint, then I'll take that and run with it. Because he is, by his own admission, one of the fussiest people when it comes to food.
Well, if you've done that, you've done well.
Absolutely. If we're talking about food, let's move on. So I'm going to talk to you about something which you're probably going to be amazed about. Music.
Okay. I do like my music.
So I'm going to ask you, what are, in your opinion, the top three albums on your phone right now?
Oh my goodness. Oh, I didn't expect that one. Top three albums. Well, you see, I don't really save the albums, but I can look through my Spotify and see what's on there.
So I use Apple Music, preferably, so.
No, we all have our own...
Yeah.
Our own preferences.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness, I don't know where to start looking, really, to be honest. Well, there's so many different things on here. That's the thing, my...
I just want to compare our tastes, that's all.
My...
taste.
Call it my preferences or whatever. They're just so diverse. I don't know. What do you start?
Well, in no particular order, is there several I can choose between, of course. I've got Doo Wop and the Hooligans, of course, which is a great
Bruno
album.
Bruno Mars, yeah, fantastic album. That's a great album. Yeah,
it's a great, great, great album. I've
listened to a lot of Bruno Mars recently, actually, yeah.
His
24 Karat Magic I had in the car when that first came out. I remember getting it for my birthday. And I chucked it in the car, and it was just a fantastic album.
But I've got other albums on here. For example, I've got Rush of Blood to the Head, I've got Viva La Vida or Death.
Coldplay?
I've got X and Y.
Well, was a Coldplay fan.
Around certain songs.
Yeah, okay. I find their recent stuff better than their old stuff. I find their old stuff, especially Rush of Blood to the Head. It was much of a fantastic album, it was quite depressing at times. Quite slow. But then obviously there were some on there that weren't.
Of course, the Diamonds, of course.
Diamonds?
Elton John.
Elton John, oh, okay, yeah, I do like Elton John.
Yeah, to which, for me personally, I Read It for Love is a fantastic song. Well, I said when that song came out, it was going to be number one.
Oh, you loved that one, didn't you?
I said it number one, and you all laughed at me, and it was.
Well.
Sir Elton John proved everybody wrong.
Look at that, all Elton John there.
Yes, I've got a lot of Elton John on there. There is the superior version of It's Raining Men, obviously, which is, of course, from Jerry Halliwell. It is a superior version. Got a lot of Glee on here as well. But there's Glee. Covers. There's covers of classic songs. I've got a lot of electronica on here now because of Chris. Okay. A lot of WWE theme songs, obviously, which I'm going to skip past, even though some of them are quite good.
One I can't do here is Queen. I'm talking greatest hits, because I can't pin an exact album down for Queen.
The problem with Queen, James,
yeah,
which is a sentence that never ends wrong. Well, and you can at me, by the way, it's at Matter UK.
Yeah, where are we going with this?
Well, you hosted a quiz recently.
Indeed.
With a music band in it, which was great, because Chris knew most of the answers.
Yeah.
You gave it. One of the questions was a song which was a Queen song.
Okay.
What was the song question, James?
I can't remember now. I was talking last week now. Yes. Show Must Go On.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I didn't know it was, and the entire family was absolutely outraged. I didn't know it.
For me, it's one of the best ones. I think Freddie Mercury wrote that after he learned that he was terminal. So, and I think that's the whole, but that was the whole point of it, sort of thing. It was one of the later Queen songs.
Mm.
So, unless you're a proper fan of Queen, you might know their whole catalogue. Mm. So, I mean, do you listen to a lot of Queen, or
every now and then? We have a Champions, so we've listened to a lot this year.
Okay. For obvious reasons, yes.
Yes.
What means you're just dabbling in the songs that you like, sort of thing?
I know what I like.
Rather than expand your knowledge of a certain artist, for example.
I can't say that's anything other than the truth on that side of things.
Fair enough. We all like what we like.
I mean, a prime example of that is that One Republic, for example, you must have heard of them.
One Republic, yeah, I don't mind
One Republic. I only know one of their songs.
Which one?
Cat Stars? No, Love Runs Out.
Love Runs Out, okay.
The only reason I know that song so well is because it was blaring everywhere at MetLife.
Okay,
fair enough. Because it was a WrestleMania theme song.
That's why then.
I've got a couple of songs on here which... many singles I've got to admit I've got on here because you cherry pick them. But, for example, I've got, you know, Walker Line, obviously, the Captain Tom version. Not Michael Ball version, the Captain Tom version. Now, I'm aware, Dave, that you are not a fan of the song.
My only problem with that was... as much as I understand the meaning behind why it was done, and Captain Tom with all his service and his excellence of what he's done recently, and a bit of a charity single, you know, I understand completely everything about it. But when you actually listen to the song, it's a terrible version.
Actually, to be fair, the only bad thing about it is Michael Ball.
Michael Ball, yeah.
Captain Tom on there, you're like, you hear it and you're like, he's not singing it, he's saying it.
He's saying it.
And that's fine.
And
if he'd done it with Jerry, then that would have been phenomenal.
I'm not a fan of the actual song itself. I'm a fan of why it was done, and I didn't pay for it or anything, but I would have been quite happy to pay for it.
I didn't pay for it because I have Apple Music.
No, that's the thing, I have Spotify, so that's all paid for it.
It paid for it, and I did donate to his cause anyway.
Yeah, well,
the 36 million he raised was amazing.
Yeah, I donated to that as well.
In the same vein, of course, we've also had other charity songs, of course, this year. I have one on here actually, which is Dame Vera Lynn.
Okay.
Because we meet again, obviously, which is obviously very poignant at the moment because we couldn't meet each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With her and Catherine Jenkins.
Okay.
They mixed them together.
I didn't hear that one.
It was really well done. Basically, Vera was duetting with Catherine Jenkins. Vera's original version, and Catherine Jenkins recorded a new version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They mixed them together, and it worked really, really, really well. Okay. There's another charity single on here, which I have, which you won't have heard.
Okay.
This was created by the Outside Xbox and Outside Extras YouTube channel. The look on their face is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They created this to try and raise. They're trying to raise 10 grand. They were trying to raise 10 grand for Mind.
Okay. Yeah. Great charity.
Fantastic charity. Absolutely phenomenal. So they released it, and I've got it on here. I might even be able to play it for you.
Yeah.
Okay. They released it in the style of their characters from their Dungeons and Dragons campaign. Now, okay. I'm aware that you're not a D&D fan.
No.
Now, they're singing this about their dungeon master, Johnny, because they call him literally everybody else in the world, because he plays literally everybody else in the world.
Okay.
Now, the story's about him, but when you hear about it, it's also a song about mental health in general.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I am going to start playing this, and because it is a charity single, for corporate reasons, I am perfectly allowed to do so.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to play it, and bearing in mind, it's about someone who plays lots of different characters, but it's also about mental health, about in general. Okay, so here we go.
Sometimes it can be hard to be yourself. It's not easy to know who you are or what you're like. You'll be told, don't worry what people say, be yourself. Which is right, but it's alarming, because it reveals that there are people who don't want you to be yourself at all. It's hard to just be one person. One person is a lot for one person to be. But I know a man who isn't afraid to be a merchant or a poor thief who never got paid or a whale, or a father to a son who has strayed into piracy. Can't you see how brave it is to be literally everyone else in the world?
That song, they released it. And they actually did it with a live stream. They did a music video and everything.
Oh, wow.
And it's absolutely phenomenal. I encourage you all out there to go and check it out. Check it out on the Outside Xbox YouTube channel. It's about a year ago now, but it was brilliant. Hmm. They released it hoping to raise 10 grand before the end of the campaign.
Yeah.
They had a plan to do a 4-hour live stream, play lots of games, because they're a video game channel in general.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
They also answered questions. They did Pictionary and all this sort of thing. And a drinking game at the end as well.
Yeah.
People were pledging money, and whoever pledged the most got to choose who would drink the forfeit cocktails.
Oh, fantastic.
Not fantastic. It was gross in places. But so they're trying to make 10 grand by the end of proceedings. They were hoping that was going to happen. They raised it in 22 minutes.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And they kept going.
Oh, brilliant.
By the end of the night, they had raised £33,000. And then, because you've heard the song, what they did at the end of the proceedings, they then put on screen the chords, so people wouldn't make their own cover version. They could.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had hundreds of covers sent into them.
Oh, I bet
they did. So they did a live stream of it at Loading Bar. We're listening to and watching the videos at some standpoints. Some were phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. In the middle of it, they had someone donate £2,000 to get them over the 50 grand mark.
Oh, wow.
Live on the air. So that was like, what?
That probably just took them aback a bit. Yeah.
They're like, whoa! Basically, they thought something crashed. Yeah. By the end of the season, but by the time of December ended, because obviously in Just Giving said, you know, you've got to stop at some point sort of thing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But in December, they had raised £55,000
for
Mind. It was fantastic. And that's why it's on there. Unfortunately,
the lyrics, I thought, were excellent. Very well written. And it says a lot about everyone, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like we said earlier, it's a lot of that. We all deal with something like that. Ourselves. I think everyone does at some point in their lives.
Absolutely. We're talking about depression, obviously, and that's something, you know, we all go through it. But that's the thing for me. I mean, I know you never will play it, personally, but Dungeons & Dragons, for me, is a way to escape from reality.
We all have our own means of
exactly.
Doing
things. Some people read books.
I'll
see stuff as well. Read books.
Yeah, and that's what you choose. I like to sometimes...
A good film.
Go for a run or something.
Mm.
Or go for a walk, you know, just get away from things for a while, where your mind can just, especially where we've got this stunning seafront, it's a good place to unwind, and what's the word I'm thinking of?
De-stress.
Yeah.
Perfect to like zone out and just.
Yeah, zone out, I think, is a good word.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I could carry on about what albums are on there. So, I'm now going to say, what's your most played songs on your phone, do you reckon?
Wow.
What's your most played? What song do you listen to the most at the moment? Because I could tell you, I'm listening to a lot of RuPaul at the moment.
Okay. Let's have a look.
Chris got me into Drag Race, so it's his fault.
Fair enough. Let's have a look at the latest playlist I put on here. I'm listening to a lot of Adam Lambert, who plays mm-hmm. with Queen. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a fantastic voice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a look. I've got my top songs here. I do listen to Mark Ronson. Been a lot listening to his his not remix album. What was it called? It was the this is like dead air on the
it's okay.
On the thing.
Okay. I think one thing I listen to a lot at the moment, James, as well, is I've also listened to a lot of Disney's music, obviously.
Yeah.
I've got me through lockdown quite a lot.
Version, that's what it is. We did different versions of songs, like recovered songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the Amy Winehouse one came with Valerie.
Yeah.
Lily Allen did the Kaiser Chiefs, Oh My God. You had Robbie Williams doing a Charlatan song, the only one I knew. I found that fantastic. I listened to that a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, go on, carry on. Disney.
Yes, particularly, there's one in particular which I sing a lot, which is a medley of Disney songs.
Okay.
I won't. Basically, it starts with The Lion King, goes to Aladdin, then Pocahontas, and then swings back round to.
When you said swings, I thought you were going to go Jungle Book. Man. I don't know why. I just had this impression of Mowgli just swinging through.
Beautiful. Eventually goes to Beauty and the Beast, which is
okay.
Before that it's Little Mermaid, uh-huh. And then it goes to Beauty and the Beast, and then goes back round and finishes with Circle of Life. Starts with Circle of Life, then Circle of Life.
Circle. It's perfect. I can't think. It's like a circle.
It works quite well, but it's a really good one. It's a really good medley in general. But uh-huh. Certain songs I do tear up about still, particularly.
I think we all have songs that we do that we have a special connection.
Yeah, that's the
word to use.
A prime example of that is "Go the Distance" from Hercules.
Okay, I don't know it, but
basically, Hercules.
I've never watched it.
No, nor have I. Believe it or not,
but you know the song.
I know the song very well because while I was in Florida last year. Of the Epcot, they're talking about the big change they're going to do at Epcot.
Okay.
And they've got, as you've got a little room you can go into where it's got this big display of what's going to be happening in each place. This big plan about expanding the UK pavilion to include a brand new Cherry Tree Lane for Mary Poppins.
Okay, nice.
Absolutely fantastic. Met her, she's amazing.
Julie Andrews?
No, one of the cast members was playing her. But she had all the mannerisms down perfectly.
Yeah.
I met Snow White in Germany, and she's got all of that nailed down perfectly as well.
Yeah.
So, they really nailed the character perfectly. Like,
I'd expect nothing less from Disney, to be fair.
Absolutely. They really got a whole hog. It's a shame they've had to lay so many people off in Florida. Not Florida, California.
Well, this is the... It's just a state of play.
Yeah, of course. But, but the reason why I know that song is because in Epcot, when they're finishing it off, visual presentation, it's not a loop.
Yeah,
sure. They finish it off with the Hercules reprise of Go the Distance.
Yeah.
Which is, I will beat the odds. I will go the distance.
Mm-hmm.
I will face the world, fearless, proud and strong. And especially during lockdown.
It's motivational, isn't it?
It was, because I knew I had to get through the lockdown stuff, and it really was a tough period. We all got through it.
Yeah.
I'm not meaning to make it sound like it's all about me, but for me especially, it really was hard getting through lockdown.
Yeah.
Because I was on my own. Now, I'm aware that I've always enjoyed my own company. But at that point,
to a certain stage, doesn't it?
Me and Chris had been together at that point for over a year. Mm. And it was really tough.
Yeah.
Really, really tough. Because I went from seeing him almost every day, as it were, to not being able to see him at all.
Well, you do. You know, when you get to a certain stage of relationship, you are literally with each other every day.
I mean, the last hug I had from someone that wasn't Chris was Arnie's Emily.
Mm.
And that was literally an hour before lockdown kicked in.
Yeah.
An hour before lockdown kicked in.
Yeah. Yes, it was on that Monday, wasn't it? It was.
It was an hour before lockdown kicked in. So I was very, very happy that I was able to get that hug in beforehand. Yeah. And our sister was very happy as well. Mm. I can't think of anything else or something that I'm playing a lot of at the moment. In terms of motivational songs, because I've been listening to a lot of those, especially in lockdown, there's a guy called Toby Mac. I don't know if you heard him or not.
No.
There's one of the songs is Get Back Up.
Okay.
Basically, it's... He is a, I believe... He's actually a Christian folk singer, I believe.
Right.
Not really my sort of thing, usually. But the song's got a good message behind it. Basically, the chorus basically goes, we lose our way, we get back up again. It's never too late to get back up again.
Uh-huh.
And basically, that sort of message through the whole song. Basically, there's always scars when you fall hard.
Mm.
If you fall that far, you're going to get a scar from it.
Yeah.
But it's not about worrying about what was in your past, what your future got.
That's the way to look forward, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, this world is scarred for life because of what happened this year. Without question.
Yeah, totally.
But we can't, we mustn't forget the mistakes that were made this year.
It's a learning curve. Life is a learning curve.
Yeah.
That's the way of life. We learn from our mistakes individually and as a community.
I mean, I know that everyone will say this, but our family has done everything by the book. Literally by the book. We haven't... When we're told to stay away, we stayed away. When we've been told we can meet in groups, we've done meeting in groups, but we've only met with the limits. And we have adhered to that vociferously. For example...
I think the vast majority of the world has.
Unfortunately, the spike in cases, is that why, James?
You could say that the spike in cases could relate to... example, the reopening of the food and drinks industry, the service industry. You could say a lot of it has come from universities and schools reopening. We've seen a huge increase in cases in schools, especially in our area as well. We've seen teachers and staffing, who have contracted the virus. And a lot of that has come because of where people are in confined spaces. It's not necessarily because of social distancing, it's because you're literally in the same room sometime. Because as we know, we have to wear these masks. We wear the masks because of it stays in the air, and as we're coming towards the winter and the colder months, it's the perfect breeding ground for respiratory viruses.
And people with colds and flus, usually.
Exactly. I mean, how many people get a cold?
I mean, well,
everyone just gets colds in the
air. I mean, 2 weeks ago, me and Chris came down with some really serious colds. And there were colds that we've double-checked all about. I don't remember that. But we had some real bad colds.
You do? I had a cold 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I thought, I've been wearing this mask. How am I getting this?
Mm.
How am I getting this virus? Because I'm literally distancing from everyone. I don't get it. But change temperature. That's what can do it sometimes. You don't have to be around someone.
But the fact of the matter is that we, it was knocking us for six.
It's because we've been wearing these masks and social distancing for so long, but when we do get a virus, it will hit us harder.
Me and Chris don't get sick usually, but Chris got the cold. Bear in mind, we both work in hospitals.
Yeah.
You know, so you knew, not like, well, we don't pick up these bugs and things, but as you say, the hygiene levels are even higher than usual in hospitals at the moment. But it can still happen. I mean, Chris was in bed 8 o'clock one night, the first night he got it, and I thought, decided for me, she could sleep right through it.
Yeah.
The following Monday, I was in a similar situation. I was in bed by 7:30, and Chris was like, well, I'll even say for you, to you, to me, sort of thing. Okay, he was lovely about that.
Okay, yeah.
Problem is, that plan didn't work.
Oh.
Because throughout the day, because I could feel it coming on, I was drinking fluid to keep my levels up.
Yeah, sure.
But by 3:30 at night, I need to go to the loo.
Yeah.
I broke the seal, didn't I? Every hour, I was getting up, going to the loo, every hour.
Yeah.
Till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
I was not happy.
I'd tell you, for a week, I was drinking a lot. Just any kind of fluids, really. Mm. And I just kept on going to it.
By the way, something that I have learned is that if you're ever having a dream and dream about a toilet, don't use it.
Okay.
Because your subconscious will actually go.
Well. Do you know what? I actually had a dream a couple of years ago about I was going to the toilet, and then it sort of like woke myself up, and I was like, what? And I hadn't wet myself or anything like that.
Mm.
I was just like, oh. It's the only time that I could, like, in a dream, that I've gone to the toilet. And it's just weird.
The subconscious will normally, if you see a toilet and use it in your dream, you will go for real. This is taking a really weird turn.
Yeah, but I didn't actually need to go for the toilet. That's the thing. I thought it would wake me up and I think that's my mind telling me I need to go to the toilet. Sort of.
I can't answer that question.
So?
I can't answer that question, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's out of my hand. I'm not a doctor. I am not a dream reader.
No, I just found it weird because I thought that would.
I'm a dream haver. But I'm not a dream reader, unfortunately.
But I thought that would be me saying I need to go for a toilet, and I didn't. So.
Well, James, we'll wrap this episode up now for show, James.
Well, you can find Matthew. I've always called you Matthew. To be fair, you can find Matt at the Maths Attack UK.
You can find Jim at...
No one calls me Jim. Not even anyone calls me Jim.
I know, but no one calls me Matthew. I hate it. Even mum calls me Matt now. She doesn't call me Matthew. She calls me Matt now.
Yeah, but Matthew's actually your name. It's your... You was christened.
No, Matthew. I was not christened.
Yes, you was christened.
I was not christened.
Sure you was.
No.
Or was we both going to be christened at the same time? Is that what it was? Because I know our older sister was christened.
We are getting off topic. We're closing out a show. Find the show at Willis Boys Talk where we talk and we talk about all sorts of rubbish. Follow James at James Willis 86. He should be on Twitter more and more. Let's face it, he likes chatting rubbish. As do I.
At me, I don't care. I'm up for a conversation with anyone.
Exactly. We will. We'll see you back here soon, guys. We're out of here.
Boom. This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.